The following message was given by Brothers Edwin Wrighton and Osmar Suarez in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, December 8th, 2019. The title of the message is The Principles of Material Offerings 2. Scripture reading, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 21.
We turn our hearts to you. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would speak to us. We need your speaking. We go on by your speaking. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We look to your speaking. Amen. I don't know how you saints feel concerning this morning watch. I believe by what was shared last Lord's Day, we should all be clear that the church operates by faith, and especially concerning the purchase of the hall in Manhattan, when the saints were urging us to make a loan, we had no peace. But what about ourselves? What about our heart? Ooh, now we're getting personal.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So here we are. We may still wonder, why are we talking about money? So as I considered, I realized one thing. What is our personal, intimate concept concerning the Lord? Do we consider him our Savior? Yes, of course. Do we consider him the Almighty God in the third heavens? Yes, of course. But, what is the Lord to each one of us? You know, if we get this point straight, forget about money, forget all the distractions. The Lord is who? The bridegroom.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Bridegroom. What is our concept? Oh, yes, of course. In the New Jerusalem, he's going to be the bridegroom. But in the meantime, I need him. He's my Savior. He's my life. He's this, he's that. You know, right now in the church, there are some saints that are compromised to get married. What do we tell them? Oh, forget about compromise. You're not married yet? No, of course not. And when one compromised person looks at the other and, ah, oh, there is it, person I love. Do you realize this is what the Lord desires from us? Yes, of course he wants us to serve him. Yes, he wants us to serve in the church. Yes, he wants us to be an overcomer. Yes, yes, yes. But first, foremost, he wants us to love him. We need to love him. If we love him, everything is clear. There is no problem. I am very concerned for the young people, but especially for the young serving ones. Even more especially for the married young serving ones, and even more so for the young married parents serving and working. One thing is, of course, if somebody works day and night to get a promotion, well, that's not the right thing. But, you know, money is somewhat not so definite. We want money because we want something else, not just to be rich. I need this, I need that, and the other thing. Well, the Bible tells us clearly, the Lord takes care of us. We don't need to worry where the next dollar is coming from. So that's why we are still talking about money. So let's look at Matthew 6:24. Let's read it together. And serve two masters. He either will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one, despise the other, and not serve God and mammon. And mammon actually is money. And money can be our idol. Again, I say, not because we want money, but we want the things that money can give us. And that can really distract us as we go from day to day. And by the time Friday comes, we're so distracted, we probably don't even want to go to the meeting. Those who have money as their idol love money, not God. Therefore, we cannot serve God and money. If you want to serve God, forget about serving money. Man's heart is either touched by God or touched by money. And God wants our heart. So God's test of a man's heart is in the matter of giving. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 8:1. Let's read this verse. For known to you, brothers, the grace of God which has been given churches in Macedonia. To save time, I didn't read the rest of the verses, but if you do, you will discover the Macedonians were poor. But it so happened that there were poor believers in Jerusalem. And they were willing to offer for the poor in Jerusalem, although they were poor. But please note, the grace of God which has been given to the churches in Macedonia. Grace is the resurrected Christ becoming the life-giving spirit, bringing the process triune God into us in resurrection. So that's why the churches in Macedonia were able to give, although they were poor. It's because they received the grace of God. And in receiving the grace of God, they were living in resurrection. If we live in resurrection, he will be our life and life supply. By this grace, the Macedonian believers overcame the usurpation of money and became generous in ministering to the saints in Jerusalem, the needy saints. Now let's read verse 5. And this as we had hoped, but they gave themselves first to the Lord
and to us through the will of God.
This is a little secret. The Lord wants the believers themselves much more than their money. He is really after our heart. This is what he desires, that our hearts would be full of him.
So that's why the saints, before they gave the money, they gave themselves to the Lord.
If we don't give ourselves to the Lord, whatever money we give is meaningless. And the Lord does not like that. The Lord wants our money when he has us. He's interested in us much more than in our money. He's interested in our money so that our heart will be for him without any distractions or hindrances.
So we should only care for the fact of handing ourselves over to the Lord. You as a person are more important than your money.
Then, okay, we feel we're going to give. Some say 10%, some say 20%. Give for this, give for that. Again, our Lord is our Lord. Lord, what should I give to? He has to direct us. He has to show us. He has to reveal his heart to us. What is he burdened for?
That we should give our money. And just in case you are still wondering about the Lord being the bridegroom, let's turn to the verses in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27.
This is what's happening right now, not in the New Jerusalem.
Let's read these verses. For a husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, he himself being as the church subject to Christ, also that the wives is subject to the husband in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. So
the Lord didn't give himself for each one of us individually. He gave himself for the church. This is what he is after.
He gave himself up for her. And he's preparing the church today, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word, that he might present the church to himself glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she would be holy and without blemish.
Sometimes we may have some problems, some difficulties. Why? Because the Lord wants us to become the virgin that he will marry.
So he, the Lord, is number one, our bridegroom. We should not only give him our money, but more than that, we give ourselves to him. Then let's go to Matthew 6, 20 and 21. Yours to yourself, which is in heaven. And the moth and the rust consume. But you shall see him. treasure is your heart also. To store up treasures in heaven is to give as the Lord leads us. Our God is a rich God, then why does he need our money? It is, as it mentioned in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God's test of a man's heart towards him, as I mentioned, is in the way of man's giving. Finally, how should we offer to God as he leads us? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Let's read this together. On the first day of the week, each one of you should lay aside in store himself whatever you have been prospered. No collections. This, of course, is what Paul told the Corinthians. He didn't want to have collections when he visited them. But concerning us, if we offer, it's on the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? In the Old Testament, the Lord required, as an example, as a symbol, that the Jews were serving him, that they loved him, they want him, the Sabbath. They had to keep the Sabbath. Today, we don't keep the Sabbath. We keep the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? That is a symbol of the Lord's resurrection. That's why all offerings are offered on the Lord's Day. Because when we meet on the Lord's Day, we should meet in resurrection, in the Lord's resurrection life, to remember the Lord and worship the Lord with our offerings. Praise the Lord. Now, our brother Osmar will put in the last word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I like the teaching in the Word when it can become practical. And this matter of giving cannot be more practical than that. So many things are spiritual, are not tangible, but the offering of our material possessions, that is something physical. That is something we can act upon faith and do something and respond to the Lord speaking to our hearts. But as Brother Ed explained, the Lord is the creator of the universe. He doesn't need our money, but he wants our heart. And the Lord knows that man's heart is easily entangled with money. So the way to be free from the love of money is to give. Praise the Lord. Brother Ed mentioned lastly this verse in 1 Corinthians 12:6 says, on the first day, meaning the Lord's Day of the week, each one of you should lay aside in store to himself whatever he may have been prospered. And Brother Ed also explained that the Lord's Day, we not only come to remember the Lord, but to worship him. Praise the Lord. We come together to worship our God and Father. But we not only worship our God and Father with our mouth and with our praises and with our hearts and to present the Christ that we have experienced through the week, but also, these are all spiritual and tangible things, but also we praise and we worship our Heavenly Father with our material offering. This is the practice in the New Testament. Now, this is not just to make a check on the command, but again, it's a matter dealing with our heart. And Let us read Luke 6:38. I really enjoy this verse this week. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, they will give into your bosom. For what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you in return." So it's clear, give, and it will be given to you. I was impressed this week that this portion of the word is in a section where the Lord is teaching the disciples about living at the standard of the highest morality, a kind of humanity and a kind of morality never been on the earth before. And so this is the calling and this is the teaching. And if you read all those verses in that section, we see that the Lord is laying out an outline of the principles of the character of God's children. The principles of character of God's children. But living this kind of a life at the highest standard of morality does not find its source in just a willing heart. It does not find its source in just a good man trying to do the right thing. But this kind of a living at the highest standard of morality finds its source in a different life and a different nature. Also, the constitution of the kingdom spoken of in Matthew 6, it's the same thing. The source of this kind of a living is a different life and a different nature. So a worldly person, the way they deal with money is according to whatever they get and whatever needs they have. But we have a different life, and we have a different nature. We possess the God of God's life and God's nature. So because we have this, this is the source of living in this way. And it requires for us to give our heart to the Lord so that he can make his home in our heart. So God is a God that loves to give. God is a God who gives. Probably the most famous verse in the whole Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He gave his only begotten son. God is a God who gives and gives it all. He gave it all that you and me, we can be here this morning, that our sins could be forgiven and we can open our mouths and praise him. But we must also worship him with the material offering. This will free our heart. So a God whose nature is to give wants to have children that give. But that will be enough then in Matthew, in Luke 6:38, to say then just give. But there's a second part in this phrase, "and it will be given to you." So why this verse has the second part, "and it will be given to you," like making a deal here, is not because, oh, if you want to have riches, then give so you have the riches. Because it's clearly in the same passage that the Lord says, "Do not store treasures on the earth, but in heaven." So why do we have the second part of this verse? Because of our heart. Because we want to love the Lord and we want to believe in the Lord and we want to trust in the Lord. But when it comes to trust in the material needs, there is always something in our heart that wants to have some reservation, just in case. The heart is not giving completely, but the Lord wants to gain our trust fully, that we'll trust fully in the Lord and in the Lord alone. And the way to get there is just to cooperate with him by giving and trusting in him. I was really touched by a verse that the Lord led me this week in Proverbs. I'm going to read it to you. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Oh, Lord, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not to trust in the riches, not to trust in the material possessions, but to trust in the Lord. And then a few verses later it says, honor Jehovah with your substance, meaning with your material possessions, and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will burst open with new wine. So in this portion in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, we see these two parts. The give, trust in Jehovah and give. Honor Jehovah with your substance. Give. But the second part, the part of it will be given to you, says, and then your barns will be filled with plenty. But here is not in the context of the filling, the meeting of our needs, but in the context of trusting the Lord. So it's not a matter of the need. The Lord will meet our need. I mean, I don't think there's a believer who has been in need and the Lord has not rescued him. In fact, we all have testimonies of that. That's probably why we're here, because we experienced something real. So saints, we want to experience the Lord for real. There is an opportunity here to give, to free our heart, to allow the Lord to gain our full trust in our heart. In Malachi, there is a wonderful verse, Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me, if you will, by this, says Jehovah of hosts, whether I will open to you the windows of heaven and pour out blessing for you until there is no room for it. The Lord says, prove me in this. Right. Oh, the Almighty God tells us, prove me in this. He desires us to prove him in this. But there is also another proving in our part. If we remember, in 1 Peter 1:7, we find there the proving of our faith. The proving of our faith speaks of that chapter. And that proving of our faith is through trials and tribulations, the experiencing lack and need. There is an opportunity there to prove our faith, to taste our faith. It's like tasting something if it works. Like you're going to buy something and I want to test first if it works. The faith that we have received works. And throughout the tribulations, the situations, the lack, there is an opportunity for us to test our faith. And our faith will be tested. But where will we put our heart? Where will we put our trust? Will we put the trust in the dollar or in the Almighty God who asks us to prove me in this? Even the dollar says such a phrase, right? In God we trust. Oh, may that be the reality in our heart, that in God we trust, and in only in him. I recently have been reading a book that I found downstairs about the life of Hudson Taylor, a missionary that went to China when he was only 19 years old. This book belonged to Brother James Chu. And along with other books that are downstairs, they are there for us to borrow it and bring it back. I'm still enjoying it. And in the first chapter, it tells us of all the experiences that he had in learning how to trust the Lord. He was feeling, I'm going to go to China, to a new land, a different language, to preach the gospel. I need to learn to trust in the Lord and to receive the Lord's provision. And he did, and he tells so many stories that are inspiring. But we need our own stories. We need our own history with the Lord. This gives weight to our faith. This gives weight to our words. This gives weight and meaning to our lives. God becomes real to us in each of these experiences, and I'm sure we have many, and I hope we can share some of them. The Lord led me to share one with you today, and I hope I will not take too long, but because the story is long, but I'm going to make it as short as I can. As you know, I came as an immigrant to the United States from my country, Colombia. And I came with my dear wife and with the dream of having a new life. There was a civil war going on in my country, and we came here to have a fresh new start. We gave up our professions there and everything to be able to live here. And in our plan was to make money, was to have an education and go on in life. And of course, children was not in the path yet. That was not the plan. That will come later when we will feel ready. But the Lord has his time. And a few months later, she was pregnant. And it was twins, as you know. So the Lord knows always what he's doing. So this caused me to turn to the Lord and to seek the Lord's guidance. We were living in a basement. I was working in a restaurant of this worldwide hotel chain. But my job, although the company sounded very good, my job was there in the kitchen washing dishes. So I was not getting more than the minimum wage. And it looked scary. The future looked very uncertain and scary. And I was meeting with the denomination as a new believer. And my pastor got to this lesson. You have to offer. You have to give to God. And I felt at first, well, I'm more in the position of receiving some help than offering anything. But then this verse spoke to me. Luke 6:38. Can we back to that verse? It says, give, and it will be given to you. Not the opposite. Receive, and then you give. So the Lord's math is just different, but better. We can add, but the Lord multiplies. Saints, the Lord multiplies. I can testify of that. So I took this word and I gave my offering and made that a practice. I didn't understand what I understand today, but I was following the law, and if it's 10%, then I'm just going to follow that. And the Lord honored that. The Lord honored that. So in those days, they gave me the opportunity to become a waiter, and I will be making much more money because I will have some of the tips, and it was a good place. So that sounded a very good opportunity to provide for my family. But my English was very poor then, so I felt like I can't handle it. But I remember that the Lord is with us. So I said yes, and I took the opportunity. And then the manager that I had then that gave me that opportunity was transferred to another branch. And a new manager came that he did not like me. And I was making little mistakes here and there because I misunderstood sometimes the clients. But I always will find my way to make my clients laugh and be happy. But my manager was not happy with me at all. So he told me, I'm going to have you sign every time you make a mistake. And when you complete 5, you're leaving. Oh, Lord. My wife was getting closer to the due time for the kids to be born. And I had in my plan, we have to get out of this basement. The kids cannot be here, you know, the boiler room. We have to go to a better place for them. But now my job was in the line because I was making those mistakes. So eventually he filled up the page of the 5 mistakes. And he said, this Friday is your last day. Look for a job. I left that day to the subway station crying, saying, Lord, what am I going to do? But the Lord gave me the peace, just trust in me. Just trust. And I did not tell my wife because I didn't want to bring this anxiety to her. But that Friday, that last day, I said, Lord, today is my last day. But it's a day with you, Lord. And I went to work, and I was doing my best, taking care of my customers. And they told me that there was a very important VIP person, and they will be seated on my section so that I make sure that everything was okay. And they told me who he was and explained me many other things that I didn't understand because my English was so poor. So this happened to be the general manager of the entire chain. He came from England to just have some meetings here, and he was going to have lunch there, but I didn't understand. So I took care of him with my best, just like I did with any other customer. And then at the end, they had the meeting, so the manager that told me that that was my last day went to the meeting, and I went to my locker to empty my locker and leave. So I was doing that when eventually this happened in that meeting. In that meeting, my manager was fired that day. And I was called to that meeting to show me as an example of the new policy, the new way to serve the customers, that they wanted to get rid of the VIP and everybody should be VIP. And I was the example of that kind of a service. And this happened because I didn't know who he was. I was just serving him the best I could, like I did with all the other customers. So they fixed my schedule. I used to work on Sunday and on Saturdays and Sundays. So then I had only Monday through Friday and only breakfast and lunch. So I have my afternoons and evenings night, so I could go back to school and I could meet on the Lord's Day and the pay what got better. But all of this, the Lord really intervened. Saints, we have an Almighty God. He is faithful. The favorite hymn of my wife is hymn number 19. And it has this phrase, "All I have need, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." The Lord is faithful. And the Lord does not need our money. But when we give our possessions to him, we give him a way to bless us, and especially to gain our heart. May the Lord gain our trust. May the Lord gain our heart. Amen. Saints, let us trust in the Lord with all our heart, for great is thy faithfulness. Let us sing hymn 19, since we're talking about hymn 19.